Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you. The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So, are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. And so, we recognize this last day of the liturgical year as Christ the King Sunday. And in relation to some other church holidays that we celebrate, it's actually a relatively new one that was established in 1925 by Pope Pius VI. It was created as a reminder that we owe loyalty first and foremost to Jesus Christ, and to try to combat rising secularism and atheism. This was during a time of rising tension in the world. Not that we could possibly relate to that, right? It was between two world wars. And from what I understand, it was a way to try and recenter the focus on Christ over and above worldly leaders, even those who claim that they are doing God's bidding in the name of Christ. But we were reminded last week that there are many who will come in the name of God saying, "I am he," only to lead people astray. Be cautious, beloved, of those who claim to come in the name of Christ and yet do not act in accordance with the good news of grace and mercy that we find in him. We pray and we hope that our elected officials are listening to and being moved by the Spirit of God. But we know that's not always the case. They are human. And we all have examples of just how flawed we are as human beings. But Jesus is set apart in many ways, including how he uses the authority given to him by God. But I think it's helpful to take a step back and start by looking at another leader in scriptures, David. Now, I went back and forth on if I wanted to change the first reading for this week to one of the alternate texts, and I decided not to for the bulletin, but still wanted to read for you a portion here from 2 Samuel. Now, these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob. The favorite of the strong one of Israel, the Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly. Ruling in the fear of God is like the light of the morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and all my desire? Now, many of you probably know who David was in scriptures. He's lifted up from a shepherd to a king. He fought the giant Goliath, wrote psalms and sang and led armies. His empire prospered and grew, and it certainly appears as though he was chosen and blessed by God. David was also human in many ways and in his flaws, for the same man who did all those great things also committed adultery with Bathsheba, got her pregnant, and then sent her husband Uriah, a loyal soldier in his army, to his death to cover up what he had done. He sent his children to war to cut down countless others. But still, this is the man that is pointed to above many others throughout Jewish scripture and is promised in the book of Isaiah and other places that the Messiah would come from this house, from the house of David. This is then how the book of Matthew starts. The book of Matthew being written for a predominantly Jewish audience, for whom this would actually have some context. And it begins with the genealogy of Jesus Christ, starting all the way back from Abraham to eventually King David, to his child that he had with Bathsheba, Solomon, to many more, just to prove that Jesus was indeed of the same line as David. And being that he was from the same line as David, certainly then he would be the same kind of king, leader, ruler, emperor as David, right? Somebody who would come and reclaim the land under the occupation of the Roman Empire. This is at least what the people surrounding the birth of Jesus would have been expecting. But that's not what they got. For instead of a military leader, Jesus tells people to hammer those swords into plowshares. Instead, they got one who underwent suffering to prevent the suffering of others. Instead of overthrowing the empire that was steeped in flawed human nature, Jesus comes and establishes a new empire, built instead upon the grace and mercy of God, when everybody and everything pointed to who Jesus should be. He comes and subverts their expectations and alters forever our relationship with God and the way that heaven comes to meet earth. And in the end, when he didn't prove to be the kind of king that they wanted, they mocked him by hanging him from a cross with a crown of thorns and writing upon that cross, "Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews." In revealing God's self in the person of Jesus Christ, God uproots all expectations. But this isn't something that's foreign to us, right? How many times have you been up against a wall crying out to God to come and fix everything, only to find God not only helping you out of the hole you're in, but doing it in a totally unexpected and new way? It's almost as if God knows what we need more than we know ourselves, huh? When we pray for things like riches and fame, God looks past our selfish desires and gives us what we need. God brings us to the still waters and sometimes, when needed, even gives us a nice helping of humble pie. Now, this is what is so amazing about Christ the King Sunday. It's a time to dwell in the unexpected ways that God meets us in this world. It opens up to us a way to envision all of the ways that God can meet us. Perhaps it's not just in church on a Sunday morning, though I'm hoping that you do experience God here at least sometimes. But maybe you also experience God in your morning walks, hanging out with chickens, meetings with friends or family, holding a newborn child, in music, or even in meeting a stranger at the bar on the corner. God is not confined to our made-up boxes or parameters. And when we start putting God into boxes, we find that all limits have been blown right open. God is at work in this world, beloved of Christ, in kings and queens, in emperors and rulers, but also in servants and the lowly, in the grieving yet hopeful. It just might be that when we pray for God's kingdom to come, that we are heard and God delivers in ways that we have yet to open our eyes to. Perhaps God is even using you as a way for the kingdom to break through, for Christ to work in this world and act out of love for neighbor, for the goodness of this world, for all people. We don't need more human kings. We have plenty of those already. What we need, what we crave, and what we are crying out for is more pointing to and sharing in the love, grace, and mercy that the reign of God promises through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell in the Dells. Find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us. Please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.